If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it.
Now I'm nervous. Oh, no. hello everyone, and welcome back to an episode of Sorry Not Sorry. I am your host, Jenny Lewis Ford. I am so excited to be in the building today with some awesome people talking about some amazing things. And this year we're going to talk about, this episode we're going to talk about what is a gap year and how you can leap into self-discovery with a gap year. And so I had to do a little bit of research before I got tapped for this amazing opportunity with the Piz Arts Dance Group about what exactly a gap year is. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a definition of what most people think it is. So technically, a gap year has been defined as the year that you take off before starting college. What was once deemed as a frivolous activity, more and more individuals are realizing the importance of taking an intentional break and some time to understand the world around them and to get fired up and passionate about what really excites them. So during this episode, we're going to interview four artists about what it was like for them to take a leap of faith and join this awesome gap year program, what they've learned from their time abroad here in New York City, and what they found about themselves and their story on their road to self-discovery. Before we jump in, I'm going to share a little bit with all of you. I myself went through a personal gap year this year, and at almost 40 years old, I didn't get a chance to ever really take a break and understand what was driving me and my desires and my intentions. And so this year, I was fortunate enough to be able to take some time off and really refocus my priorities and find out what makes Jenny tick. And during that period of my own gap year, I was blessed to meet the amazing Dominique Robinson, owner of the Piz Arts Gap Year program. And as I was exploring what really brings me passion and excitement, I said, what is it, Jenny, that you would teach the world? What is your legacy? And of course, it had to be podcasting. I've been podcasting since 2008, before it was cool, y'all, so you know I'm old. But it really does bring me joy to help people uplift their stories and connect the dots to other individuals through our shared connections. And so through this opportunity with Dom, I was able to teach four amazing artists that are on the road to self-discovery and how they can help define their own story and what it means to be a part of this program and how that impacts their story. So before we get started and before we meet the artist, I would like to introduce the owner and founder and creator of this program, Dominique Robinson. She's a native New Yorker. She's an artist and educator. And in 2014, she founded Piz Arts to support cultural exchange through travel and art. Piz Arts is a registered company with the United Nations International Dance Council. Okay, girl. Quick clap for that, all right? In 2016, Piz Arts launched a dance gap year with programs being hosted in New York, LA, and abroad. Robinson is a member of the Gap Year Association and sits as an executive committee member of the GYA Standards and Accreditation Team and contributes to the Fair Trading and Learning Committee. So, now you know that she's official, okay? And she's got receipts, all right? Dom, thank you so much for joining us today for this awesome discussion. I can't wait to learn more about you and the Dance Gap Year program.
Yes, thank you for having me, and thank you for teaching our students this semester. This has been so eye-opening and just an excellent reminder that we always have to check in with ourselves where we are in our career and stuff, and the SWAT has been my favorite thing to check myself a lot.
Oh my God. I definitely was questioning if I should include a SWAT into the programming. And for those of you that don't know what a SWAT is, it is a matrix that you can set up when you're about to start a new project or opportunity and really evaluate how that opportunity or project compares with your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. It's a very much marketing tool. And I appreciate the patience that these young students had while I was trying to explain what exactly that is and how you can utilize it on your personal story and uplift yourself. So thank you for your patience. And Dominique, thank you for running this amazing program. So just out of curiosity, you're, you know, a native New Yorker, Latina. what in the world? You would never think, like, what made you wake up one day and say, I'm going to start a dance gap year program?
You know, I think it's just a part of my entire journey as a dancer. I can go back so far, but just like to sum it up, I was a late bloomer in the dance industry. I started at 16 and I didn't really know like the culture of the dance environment. I just kind of was like thrown in, and I knew I really wanted to dance more than anything. Two things that I realized over my experience of being a student and then going into the industry and then becoming an educator and mentor was that there was a period in my life that I was always afraid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know who to ask. And when I did, I feared just going up and asking it. And I know that I lost a lot of opportunities out of that. But I was so hungry and like dedicated to having a career in dance that I think the plus side of it was that I wrote down these ridiculous dreams and I said, okay, like what do I have to lose, right? Like mm-hmm. I already took this huge leap of faith that was absolutely insane. And so I'm going to go with it. And one of them was that I wanted to live in LA. I wanted to be in Hollywood. I wanted to be an entertainer, right? It wasn't that I needed to be famous or wealthy. I wanted to entertain people. Another one was that I wanted to live abroad and that one day I would. And I ended up living in Argentina. I studied there in college and I knew one day I would go back. And the third one was that I wanted to study at American Ballet Theater, which was absolutely impossible. Probably the most insane dream of all, because you don't get in there at 16 starting, you know, dance.
Can but, we get a spoiler alert? Did it happen?
Yes, it did. Uh-huh. I even went on to like work for them for many years.
My God.
They've hired Pizzard's dance mentors for some of their programming, actually.
Won't he do it?
Can I
just dial back a bit and just focus on something that you said that's really resonating with me right now about the fear of asking questions, right? As a woman of color, right, I can relate and identify. Do you think that it's the way that we're positioned in the world that we just don't get a space to question society or elders or peers and we're just expected to just do?
Well, yes. I mean, I studied ballet as part of my master's. So
nice.
just in the ballet world, there's not very many people of color. It's transitioning a lot, you know, but yes, you always feel awkward.
Wow. So you've had to battle the added lens of being a woman of color in a very like not color-friendly spaces, right? And you were able to just kind of manifest your own way forward and see this company to fruition. As an entrepreneur, as someone that kind of beat the odds, what do you think is the one thing that kind of kept you moving forward?
I will have to give a shout out to the Gap Year Association. Absolutely. I went into this with knowing that I didn't want to be in a dance environment when I graduated from college. I wanted to find another environment, another group of people that thought a different way and see how I can learn from that. And when I went into the Gap Year Association, their first conference, they opened like the doors and like arms wide open and just held my hand the whole way. And they've really helped me grow as a person. And they don't have anything to do with the arts, but all that I've learned from them, I've been able to take that and use that with artists and in my creative process.
Wow. So just you really found inspiration in an unexpected place.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever envision owning your own gap year program or running your own gap year program?
No. Actually, I was finishing my thesis and I received an email and the person asked me if I was making a summer program or a gap year program. And I was like, huh,
what's a gap year program? Yeah.
So I looked it up and I was like, oh my goodness, I took a gap year. Like I was burnt out in LA and I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. So I went to Argentina and I was there for a year and a half and I left there to go study at ABT and do my master's at NYU. So that time, like without even recognizing it, you know, was me taking some time for myself.
Yeah. I am so proud of you, and I'm so proud of the students in the room today. There's a real misconception that taking a year off is a year of nothing. And I want to say firsthand, seeing the program, seeing the ambition of the artists participating in the program, that it's anything but, right? And there's a level of bravery that you need to have inside to be able to say, hey, I'm not going to conform to all of this pressure I'm feeling right now that I need to be, you know, at the top of my game and have it all figured out in my early 20s when in hindsight, you know, we're still crawling infants when we're in our 20s, right? Like, in, it's like 30s. You don't really figure it out until like your late 30s. And even then, some people are still struggling. So we owe ourselves some grace and some opportunity to really explore what it is we're doing with our time. It's the one thing that we can't ever get back. And we waste it so like frivolously on social media or just living up to other people's expectations. So I want everybody to give yourself a big clap on the back right now because you deserve it.
You
do. And so, you know, Dom is really like, I love surrounding myself with like positive, inspiring people. And like what really got me impressed with her program in particular is the level of village and community that she was able to build during this program. So everyone that, you know, she pulled together these really thoughtful programs and she relies on a lot of expertise from the people that she knows and loves and trusts. So can you tell me a little bit about how you've been able to kind of like build a village of like co-creators with you?
Yeah, I mean, I have to give a shout out to Zoe Rappaport. We met when we were both at NYU, but she's been with me for a really, really long time. And she lives in LA, but she is this person who is just so connected in that social, like, I don't know, she's just a force to be reckoned with. And so she introduced me to a lot of amazing artists, underground artists, independent artists, and we just all got to know each other and in one way or another found ourselves talking about, you know, the things that we wish we had during our, you know, process in the younger days. And I just listened to that a lot and started taking all of these thoughts and ideas and putting that into the idea of this like curriculum, the structure where we can offer to other people. So it everything from in the Gap Year program is tailored to what's happening right now, which is also really hard to sell when you tell people it is what you want it to be, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is that's what separates it from other programs is that it's constantly evolving and changing based on the people, the artists, and what's going on in the times.
Yeah, I love that you built a really thorough, robust program for these artists. And when you hear the word gap year program, immediately you think about, oh, it's just for dancers, right? It's just for people who want to dance. And so, you know, that's kind of the perception I had when I heard about the program. But I'm so glad that I was able to change that perception. And speaking of connections, I want to give a special thanks to Harvey Champagne, who's in the building with us tonight. He is the pathway for many people, the guy who knows everybody. And, you know, as I was going through my personal gap year, you know, there's a moment where we have to be vocal about what's not working for us and what we wish to achieve. And I had a very frank conversation with Harvey and he immediately connected the dots and said, hey, we need to talk to Dom and see if this can be incorporated. Mm-hmm. So as an FYI, I taught these beautiful students about storytelling and personal branding, even though this is technically a dance gap year program. So it's not something that you would automatically connect the dots with at a first glance, but it's something that every artist and entrepreneur needs to be able to tell their story, to be able to understand their brand and how that translates to their audience. So speaking of that, I just want to say, Harvey, please jump on the mic. Tell us a little bit about your brand and how you met Dom and how you've been participating in the program so far.
Well, funny enough, I've known Dom since high school. We met over 20 years ago. Me just kind of discovering myself, having my moment that Dominique had at 16, wanting to be a performer, a singer, songwriter, and just graduating high school at that moment and having my kind of breakout moment, which Dom was actually there for, you know, we've kind of connected in that moment, and that's where kind of our base is. But just recently, I had approached Dom and Pizzarts to collaborate with me on some of my music and video work that I'm doing. And, you know, this was before the gap year or this semester started. And as it was starting, you know, because we were hanging out a lot, you know, I kind of just jumped in and said, you know, how can I help? Like, what do you need from me? Like, how can I help? And, you know, we just talked and talked and talked very casually. And, you know, then Jenny and Dom got connected. And then it turned out, you know, I was able to help out with the big photo shoot, you know, which you guys know, but which came out beautiful. Yeah, and it was a very a big moment of growth, a moment of depth, and a moment of growth for everyone, as far as I could observe, even for myself. And I thought it was really beautiful. But did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Yeah, and it's a perfect segue because, like, I want to say there's so much that went into this program. So here's what I know, mm-hmm. right? So you have four students that, you know, that are participating in this program. They are living in New York City. I think Dom provides housing for some of them. Mm-hmm. She hooks them up with classes. There was a video shoot, a photo shoot. We're now doing a podcast. And there was a trip to Puerto Rico.
Yes,
so,
baby.
Yeah. Yes.
And internships.
And internships. So it's a whole real robust experience and program. And I have to ask you what your favorite moment for this cohort was so far.
I'm going to say Puerto Rico.
Oh, I need to hear these details, and I can't wait to dig into what happened in Puerto Rico. So Dom, I'm going to segue to the students, but before we do, I just want to give you a moment to tell us a little bit about them and why you picked them for the program.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, this is so hard.
She better not cry. She better not cry, y'all.
She's going to cry. She's
going to cry.
You know, in the very beginning, I thought that, you know, the idea of having a program like this was to have, you know, a large group of people. You know, I wanted 10 dancers, and we were just going to have this amazing time. We were going to do all these things. And quickly, I realized, you know, going through it, that having one or two gap year students was really, really special, because it allowed me to really keep the authenticity of the program and really, really tailor it to the needs of the individual. And I'm only one person, right? Mm-hmm. So I couldn't duplicate myself, and nobody could have the same vision and idea that I had. And so I really started, I shifted in the way that I looked at drawing attention to the program. Really just became a thing of word of mouth. And it's been such an honor because, like, for one, Andrea, she was word of mouth from a dear, dear friend of mine, a graduate also from NYU, Aaron. And because of him and I and our work over the years, that's how I got to meet this incredible human being who comes off so stone cold.
Woo!
I actually didn't think she was going to do the program. In our interview, when I end them, I'm like, yeah, they're coming, yes. And I was like, I just sat there. I was like, I don't know. She's really going to do it. But that's what's also so amazing about it is that we always have in our mind our perception of other people, and then we get to know them and realize we have no idea, like, what we, you know, what we were thinking, you know, in the moment. It's our own fears or insecurities and things like that. So I have to say, I just love how, like, Andrea really pushes people to just be 1,000% honest and authentic in who they are and how they're feeling. And then Flood came to me through Queen Tut, who is also one of the artist mentors and has been a huge supporter and dear friend of mine. And we connected from just her passion of being a mentor. And I just love it because Flood is this, you know, beautiful bouncing unicorn who's super unpredictable. Yeah. And that's how she likes it, you know?
I love it.
That's how she wants it. And and when you allow people to be themselves and you're around it, it's just like this, like, ever-giving gift, you know? And it's just like an awesome mm-hmm. feeling to be around that. And Lucia, our badass.
Woo!
No, you know, when she came, I was like, she came to me as this, like, you know, I studied ballet and it was like very clean and proper. And I was like, oh no, you know, how is this going to work with the different? They're all so different. And, you know, I have to be a certain way so that I don't disappoint her. And the more and more that I got to spend time, if she was like everything about her personality is super like bubbly and colorful. And I love she's so punctual and she cares about the small things. Right. Mm-hmm. Like the small things really matter to her. And it also just constantly made me have to like stay on top of my stuff and like really make sure that I was providing that I was being someone aware of all of the small things, the small details. And mm-hmm. and I always hope to choose gap year participants that are really thoughtful and they really, really want to push their own boundaries.
Mm.
That this is not just about like a product base, like now you just have headshots and pictures and this and that and go off into the world, that you really are asking yourself questions about who you are and who you are to other people and yeah, just like being very just very, very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Thoughtful about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If I can add, one thing that I often think about a lot is from day one till now.
Oh.
And how different. Like how like just thinking about each individual, how they blossomed into who they are now, which I love, but like how they showed up and then how they grew to that moment. And I think I find myself thinking about that a lot,
yeah.
like mm-hmm. how they've really grown and blossomed. And it's just such a beautiful thing. I love it.
I guess that's what gratifying. Teachers experience that all mm-hmm. the time, but we necessarily don't have access to that. Mm-hmm. So for starters, y'all, let me tell you some stories. Story time.
Shout out.
So, yes, I can say that I have witnessed a transformation. I know that I wasn't the easiest course for these young artists to take. And so, like, you know, just to recap, I started off with the most scariest question you could ever ask someone, mm-hmm. which is, who are you, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I decided to do a storytelling course versus, like, technical podcasting is because I realized that, like, when you are meeting people and you're getting them to invest their time and their money and for you to win an audition or to get that space, that you really have to be tapped into who you are and what your story is, because everyone has skills, right? Everyone can dance. But what separates you from the next person is your own story, because that is something that is always going to be individualized. Even if you met someone where you guys went to the same school and grew up in the same town, your stories are going to be completely different. So leaning into your story is an excellent vehicle for self-expression. But it also reminded me of my favorite and worst book that I also loved and hated when I was growing up, which was Alice in Wonderland. And I always ask myself, why did I like that book so much? Because at first, when I was a kid, so many of the like hidden messages and details just go over your head. But if you rewatch the movie or even read the book as an adult, you can start to see and understand Alice so well. She is a young woman in a world that is literally twisting her around and putting her in every direction. And she just wants to go home. And home is herself, right? And she just wants to figure out how she can get there. If she's too big, she's too small, she can't figure it out. She's always lost. She's always late. And she's just trying to figure it out. And I feel like that's such an analogy for how we operate in our 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you meet the asshole caterpillar, right? And they're just like every asshole in the world. They don't care that, you know, your cat just died or that you're having the worst day of your life or you ate ramen noodles last night because you didn't right. know where you were going to get your next check. And when you need something and they're like, well, why should I give you anything? Why should I give you this job? Who are you? Who are you? And you're like, well, you guys, I don't know. I just need I need a chance. I need a break. I need somebody to invest in me. But it's such a life lesson because you really can't expect people to give you the things that you need if you don't know why you need them and why they're going to help your journey. So I know my course was a little scary, but I will say that I have witnessed the transformation and I've gotten to know these students over the last couple of weeks and their stories, and they're really inspiring. And even though y'all started off very timid, okay, those couple of first courses was dry as two saltine crackers rubbing together in the night. Yeah, they were just, there was no flavor, there was no moisture. I was able to slowly start to see them get more comfortable with answering that question and understanding the story of themselves. And that's all that I wanted for them to be able to feel comfortable in this moment, because your turn is next, to be able to tell your journey and your story. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to take a quick pause because I'm just getting a little emotional. And I just want to thank you guys, because teaching you has taught me about myself. And it really made me feel connected with what I love to do, which is to help inspire people and stretch them. And you guys stretched, okay? And I heard you stretched a lot in Puerto Rico. So we're going to get to those details. So I'm going to ask you for the last class of the semester, who are you? And we're going to start with Lucia.
Yay. I don't know if this ever actually really got easier because I'm still very much figuring it out. But I'm Lucia. I'm from Memphis. I'm a dancer. I'm doing an internship in fashion design right now. I've always been a very creative person, loved crafts and stuff. I had a really beautiful upbringing in a very diverse place with a lot of beautiful people. And I think that's like what's made me who I am today. And dance is what I want to do. I think I'm a very calm person for the most part. I do overthink a lot, but I think I keep it calm. I'm pretty positive minded. And yeah.
Well, thank you. That you did an excellent job. You did an excellent job. We're going to dig in a bit. We're going to ask you what it was like to come to New York City. What was the top thing that maybe you were surprised about and also scared?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what was it? So you said you grew up in a beautiful, where did you say you were from again? I'm sorry.
I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. So that's a big culture shock to come to New York.
Yes.
Was it everything you expected or not?
Well, I had, in 2019, I had done a summer intensive in New York for 5 weeks, mm-hmm. where I had a little like sneak peek into like what it's like. And I think that's what, like, immediately after that, I knew that when I finished high school, I wanted to come to New York. And actually, I wrote myself a letter at the beginning of high school to open when I graduated. And at the end of the letter, it said, I hope you're going to New York to dance.
Ooh, intentions.
Manifestation.
I know, and I had totally forgot about that. Girl. But yeah. When I read that, I was like, cry. Oh my gosh. And then I also opened a letter I wrote in fourth grade that I said, I hope you're still dancing.
Oh my God. My fourth grade letter, I wanted to be a nun. We will not talk about that right now. I am definitely disappointed.
Did it happen?
Spoiler alert.
None happened.
Nothing happened.
None.
Yeah,
none.
So I have disappointed my inner child so severely. I have still have to really unpack that in therapy as to why that was such a clear career choice for me at that age.
Lucia, really quick, saying that you want to dance and that's not what you want to do, where does the fashion design come in? I'm curious.
I mean, I've always been into like DIY. Mm-hmm. I mean, like rainbow loom and like duct tape and like everything you could have like growing up. Like I had my obsessions.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my senior year of high school, I thought, why not ask at my dance studio if the costume designer of our company needed some help? So I went and I asked, and she loved that. She was like, yes, like we would love like some volunteers. And I got really close to her, and I came into the costume shop every day before class for an hour. And it was just this nice, calm moment before class to learn and sew or do something that I really enjoyed. And I think also a part that I can connect it to dance also like gives me some like safety, and like it makes me calm because like, I don't know, if I was doing something that has absolutely nothing to do with dance, I think I might like, I don't know if that's weird to say, but I feel like I would like panic a little.
Oh, not at all.
No, I think costume, it's normal. And dance, costume and dance, actually, I didn't realize how closely they go together. Yeah. I just went to a show, and afterwards, the man who produced the show was like, I injured myself and I started costume design, and that got me back into dance. And they're so like, it's such a theatrical experience that they do. They're like the same, you know, one side of a different coin. So
that's one of the reasons why when I was like designing the Gap Year program, it was like I wanted them to have something outside of dance that they focused on, and then really bringing the two together was really important. So every gap year semester, students have always had kind of like a thing outside of just training and learning choreography and performing. And
that's very valuable because life is unexpected, and we have to stay nimble, flexible, and well-rounded. And I love that.
Quick.
Very quickly. So we're going to switch gears a bit, and we're going to interview Andrea. So Andrea, who are you?
Whoa, I am Andrea.
Drops the mic.
Andrea.
Drops the mic.
Boom. The Andrea.
Yes. Okay, so I am a dancer. I'm an aunt. I love to dance more than anything.
Where are you from?
Yeah. Oh, Omaha, Nebraska.
All right,
what?
Nebraska.
Yeah. Okay, so that let's peel the onion there for a second. Nebraska to New York. Is this your first time?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
So wait, hold on. I needed you to bring Virgin, New York Virgin. I wanted to hear the story about the first time they saw a scary person on
the
train.
Well, this is the first time that she went to a beach.
Oh, yeah.
Later.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear about that.
What's been your biggest lessons in New York so far?
Just to really be careful. I think that's the main thing that I've taken away, because there's a lot of things going on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Be observant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see something, say something. Yeah.
See something, run.
Yes, that part.
See something, run.
Run.
So is this a future destination for you? Do you see yourself living in New York?
Maybe not in the city necessarily, like maybe Jersey City and like commute to New York.
You're a burb? You're a burb girl. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So Dom talked a bit about making sure that all of the artists in the program had outside interest. You would like to share a little bit about yours?
Yes. I decided to go down the path of creating a dance company.
Whoa. And what better person to learn from than Dom? Yeah. So tell us about that journey.
She approached me and asked me if I wanted to, like, she gave me a budget and then had me, like, create a business plan. And I'm in an internship right now, like, learning about the business side of, like, how studio runs and things like that. And
yeah, shout out to Perry Dance. Thank you so much for supporting Dance Gap Year and taking on one of our dancers.
Dom, you got your foot on your neck. All right. You're not letting up. All right. All right. We're passing to the virtual mic. So, Florencia.
Hello.
Hi. Tell us a little bit about you, please.
Okay. So, first of all, I need to say that English is not my first language. So, excuse me if I messed up. I'm going to do my best. But I'm from Mexico City. And I'm living here in New York by 2 years now. And I think I did backward everything because I finished college. Like, my whole life I was trying to have my father and my mother happy, you know?
Mm.
So they think that they know how to live. So they have like a method. Mm-hmm. Like everybody. It's like you go to elementary school, high school, college, you look for a job, then you get married, then you got kids. You know, it's like everybody doing mm-hmm. the same. And I'm always failed that I didn't fit. Like I was like, my whole life, I just thought that I was an alien, you know, like... Mm. What
that's a good
it's
thing.
Yeah like what
Haley
I'm doing.
Haley is superstar.
That's a good thing.
There you are.
So when I arrived in New York City, I just said, "Mom, I finished college. I made you happy. Let me do my life." Mm. So I say to her that I'm gonna move to New York City one day before, and I say, "Mom, I got my ticket, and tomorrow I'm leaving to New York," and that's how I start. And my point is, of course, dance. I think dance is my second language. I can say English is my third language.
Nice. I like that.
So
yes, plus one.
I just think like everything comes to you when it's the time. And for me, like Dance Gap Year had been a really cool experience because... Like Andrea said, it's happening a lot in New York City. It's like a jungle, and
jungle,
it's a jungle. And imagine
like it though.
Imagine like this is not my comfort zone at all.
It's not. Yeah,
I'm living out of my comfort zone every day. So for me, like you know, try to do my thing. It's a whole thing.
So how did you get connected with Dom and this dance program?
Oh, because I was looking for a like company to start, you know, training. I found the Kingdom Company by Paige Queen Tut, mm-hmm. and she is connected with Dominique. So actually that was our triangle. And yeah, that's how I started.
Wow.
Thanks, got you.
I just want to commend you on your bravery. In fact, all of you guys yeah. really just said, F it. We're going to do something different. And you guys really need to understand that in a world where we live by a schedule and time and clocks and deadlines and expectations, that being brave enough to say, no, I'm going to do things my way is a revolution. So you guys did that. Go ahead.
I've actually relocated 9 times across country by myself. So I totally understand like the move that you guys have made just to get here is incredible. Just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I've never moved. I mean, I've lived all over New York City, but I've never moved somewhere so far away from my home to pursue a passion. And I feel like that just adds like another lens on the experience. Like I've had to move because I had neighbors in the Bronx that were fighting chickens in the backyard. Not necessarily because I was so passionate about going to Staten Island. You know. So I'm gonna have to live through your experience right now. That's why I'm like, what is the scariest and best thing that you've discovered about New York City? Like, what is something that you would not trade about your experience here? I'm going to start with you, Andrea. I'm not letting up on you.
Something I wouldn't trade?
Yeah, the best part of New York.
It forces you to, how do I put it? Like Florencia was saying, like you're living out of your comfort zone every single day. Mm. So you're kind of forced to have to like, grow up even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it creates a dependence on yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Self-resilience.
Independence.
Yes, a resilience.
Sort of independence.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have the comforts of falling back at mm-hmm. home and having other people fix things. Mm-hmm. It makes you grow up real fast. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Shout out to Botox because I've lived here my whole life. And this is just a quick segue ad, and I'm still pretty smooth on the tops. So, you know, New York will stress you out.
Yes, it
don't
will.
Let it steal your, you know, your youth
your
from
youth,
you.
Yes.
What about you, Lucia? What was kind of something that you were like, okay, this is it. I love New York. You already hinted as to like you were going to be here. What was it about that? I mean, what is it about this place that makes you say, I need to be here?
I feel like it's just like the feeling of New York. Like when I first was coming here, just like seeing the city and just like flying in or like driving in or whatever, especially for like the first couple times, it just feels so like magical and special. And it still feels like that, like living here. Like, I don't even know. I think it's just there's so much. There's so many people. There's so many opportunities. And right now, like, I'm at a point in my life where I'm just trying to grab every opportunity I can right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not in college, so I need to make the most of just, like, going about my own life now for the first time without, like, a structure, a schedule, my mom with me. So I feel like the best place to do it is New York.
I love tourists. I love tourists.
I love that moment.
Tourists make the best New Yorkers because when you talk about New York, I'm like, oh, it feels like I'm looking at a movie in my mind. Instead, when I experience New York, I see Pizza Rat.
I still see things.
Yeah, I see it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, so it's so like clandestine when like someone from not native New York is talking about it.
That magic though is something that's like that. It can't be mimicked, you know, like even in a moment for New York, being from North Carolina, like when I feel like I'm scrambled, I literally, like I'll take a moment and I look up. And then when I see like the buildings, the skyscraper, I kind of release that moment and I'm like, oh God, okay, I'm here. And the magic is like back, you know, it's something that you like, it can't be mimicked or explained. Like it's beautiful. And it's the thing that I like, that keeps me here, you know, and I love it. I love it.
It's definitely unique. Like I've traveled all over the world and I'm like, I got to get out of New York. And then when I'm out of New York, I'm
you
like,
get back home.
The minute I'm talking to, like, I'm walking down the street and they're like, good morning. I'm like, ew. I got to go back to New York. Right. Like, you know, so I want to talk to you a bit because I know, like, you've had a really different experience. You said, you know, like, something that stood out was, like, you know, this is your third language, you know, and you really took a risk. You're coming from a far place. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're probably more New York than anyone in this room right now. Yeah. So what is
I mean, I think, like, I get into really quickly. Like, I can mix really quickly, you know. But I just think, like, probably the thing is, like, I don't know, people in New Jersey is not empathic persons. I'm a helper. Like, I love to help people. I love to, you know, be a smile every time. And I don't know, I just think, like, I have that vibe. And I needed to calm down myself here. Because people, it's not like that. Like, they don't care about you. They don't care. No, for real. They don't care about you. And for me, it has been, like, a really hard journey because I came from, you know, a place where people, it's so warm. Like, everybody is, like, if you need help, I'm going to be there. And my family, like, everything. So just arrive here and try to translate my soul. It has been
it's been hard,
bro. Yeah,
you know,
it's
what though,
my soul.
just to add a little bit of, like, maybe sprinkle some perspective on this, like, yeah, New York is not for the weak of heart, right? Mm-hmm. But what makes New York amazing is when you find your village and you find your people. And they're, you know, you never know where you're going to find your people, what they look like, how they show up. When you find your niche, right, it really, the city opens up for you. You found your niche, though, right?
Yeah, okay. I did. But also, you think, I was thinking that I just tried to don't give up about my, like, my personality, like, who I am. And just trying to be careful and take... Because I trust some people really fast. So for me, it had been like a really hard trouble here because people sometimes take advantage of it.
Yes.
Right.
But I'm surprised how people, I used to say, like, hey, good morning, everybody. And the people are like, why is she saying good morning?
They were like, yeah. They're
like, exactly. But now I just saw how the people perceive me. And now if I say good morning, they are going to say good morning. But, you know, the people start to know who I am. Like in my hood, you know, the people, they know who I am. And I feel like they take care about my persona, because I just giving myself to them, and they feel comfortable. They don't feel that need to be on defend mode, because that's another thing in New York City. Everybody is on alert, like, you're gonna punch my face, or you're gonna, yeah, that's crazy. That's
so crazy. Well, this is the testament to know how you made it in New York, right? Is if you don't let New York change who you are.
Yeah.
Right? If you are you and you kept your core, maybe you're just a little smarter, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not handing out dollars, you know?
Yeah.
But you still are vibrant and happy and friendly.
Right.
So New York has not changed who you are. You survived New York. You're going to thrive here. And I think that's the thing that makes the difference, right? Mm-hmm. So you were going to say something, Harvey?
No, I was just going to chime in and say New York is... it will humble you. Like, it's a really humbling place, but that should never take away from who you are. Like, there's always a moment where we could be humbled, like, okay, I'm not that special. There's a million people more down the street who are, like, louder than I am, more trendy than I am, or more friendly than I am. You know, there's always a million people around the corner.
Yes.
It's humbling, you know, to realize how, you know, big you are in the grand scheme of things. You know?
It is so true. You know what helps you not feel humble, though?
What?
Your story.
Ooh.
Segue here. Because, you know, we all are trying to do something with our lives, right? But, like, even me, like, when I started podcasting, it wasn't a thing. And now, like, everybody and their mama has a podcast. Mm-hmm. So, like, at some point, you start to feel like, well, what am I adding to this space? And then you start to feel like, okay, like, there's always someone that's going to be cuter, stretchier, like, you know, on it. But stretchier, right? I'm trying to relate it to you guys. who's more arithmetic than me. But, like, you know, what makes me different is my story. And I know that people can connect to that, because the things that I've been through, maybe you've been through, and then you get inspired. And so that's really why I wanted to kind of lean there. But now... We have some time left, right? And I want to really dig into your stories about Puerto Rico. So, Dom, I have to ask you, why Puerto Rico? Like, what was, you know, what's the thought process behind taking four artists to Puerto Rico?
Why Puerto Rico? I spent my summer there. I really wanted to open up another location. I love doing projects at the beach. And my family is from there, so it was really just kind of like the reason why I wanted to start at that place. Also, the second one is that I am Puerto Rican, and I went through a period in my life where I was not connected to my roots there, and it was that it was taken from me from, like, this experience living in the South, and it's like a long time ago, and they weren't used to bilingual, like, you know, children. So I lost the opportunity to speak with my family because I couldn't speak Spanish anymore.
Oh, wow.
And that always stuck with me. And it really kind of, like, affected my, like, how I saw myself and my relationships with my family and my identity. But for every negative, there's a positive.
Yes.
And so that's how I ended up going to Argentina, because I was like, I'm going to learn how to speak Spanish at least some way. Well enough that I can speak with my family and reconnect and stuff. And so... Well,
ya tú sabes. Ya tú sabes? I don't even know what that means.
Ya tú sabes.
Ya tú sabes? Okay. What does that mean, though?
You already know.
Oh, hey. I did that.
And then I pretty much... The seed planted for Gap Year and this whole experience was because of going to Argentina, right? So, I mean, I'm going off in this tangent, but when I decided to do Puerto Rico, I was... really talking a lot about finding ways to connect dancers in New York back to their roots in Puerto Rico. Mm. So one of the things is, when I had this cohort, I really wanted to bring in at least one or two dancers who are Puerto Rican living in New York to participate in the program and give them the opportunity to also go to Puerto Rico for their first time.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
Christian's not here with us tonight, but his experience, it was the first time for him to go to his, like, motherland, you know.
Wow. Thank you for making that possible for these folks.
Yeah.
I love that story. So was this the first time you took your students abroad?
No, I've taken students to Costa Rica, Jamaica, Argentina, Tokyo. So
was Dom like a mother hen on this trip, or like was how did she show up on this trip with you guys? Feel free to just jump in.
I just think like she's like our big sister. Like that's how I feel. You know, it's like, okay, guys, I just figured it out. This you have this. I'll see you this time. Like she's not, you know, always like, guys, are you ready, you guys? Like she just came and said, we need to do that time. Blah blah blah. Figured it out. I'll see you there. But that works for me. That works for me.
I don't think I give off that vibe. And they were really worried.
Why? I think like you let us be independent. I never felt that I was like, you're my mom. You know, like my mom always like, I put this on black and blah blah blah. You just let me be.
Leave it to me, you won't eat.
You're like, the strongest chick survives here.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me more about the agenda of Puerto Rico. Like what are some of the things that you guys did, explored, learned? Feel free to just jump on the mic if you're ready to share.
I mean,
yeah.
We went to the beach a lot.
You guys were working too, right? Like doing video stuff and all that?
Yeah, we did do some videos, shot some content, and things like that.
I heard you guys volunteered as well, right? Is that something that happened?
Yeah, they performed for an organization, and they work with... I'm blanking now.
Go ahead, Lucy. Remember?
Oh, no.
We were in La Fortuna, and we were dancing for a second annual like Christmas lighting event. But it's a non-for-profit, and they work with children who have Down syndrome.
Oh, okay.
There
that's
we
so
go.
Special.
And I think his name is Kevin. Yes, Kevin. It was his second annual. This is his project. And we got to perform, and he really liked it. So we were invited to come another year.
I'm sneaking on that trip this next time.
Are y'all going to go?
Oh.
The following?
Oh, wait, no, they perform. They're coming next year?
No, I'm saying, yeah.
Oh.
Maybe they'll be mentors.
I was like, okay.
I was just like, wait, we're invited to go here.
All right, next year.
Yeah. She's like, let me check my calendar.
I was like, let me find out.
Also, they were on a viral live Instagram feed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How do you forget that? That was like 2 days ago. They just got back from Puerto Rico tell me stories, what happened?
There was a famous TikToker while we were kind of doing like a flash dance, and they just so happened to be on Instagram live.
Flash mob,
a flash mob or something.
In a really famous flash dance area. Okay. Of Nokia in front of the kioscos. So yes.
Oh wow.
Drop some tea. Like, who landmark. Is this Instagram? Who is this person?
Flood.
Okay, I need to look for it, but he used to say rakiti rakiti. That's why he's famous. He said that a lot. And I can't remember your name though, but you're awesome.
We'll tag him in the episode.
Yes, definitely. We just tagged him with rakiti.
Rakiti.
Thank you, whoever you are.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's something that he said, you know, like a word that he used.
He made it up?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he's famous for it. Rakiti rakiti.
What does it mean?
He made it up.
What does it mean? Ya tu sabe?
No.
How does he use it? He just says it just to say
You'll have to see his Instagram.
Okay.
I will send you.
Okay.
Don't spoil it. So, Lucy, I'm going to call you out here. What was your favorite memory in Puerto Rico?
I just think traveling with dancers is just like a beautiful thing because, like, I just feel like you just connect in a way that, like, you can always dance and, like, we're always, like, breaking out, doing some dancing or just, like, having some, like, deep, meaningful discussion about improv or like something just like I don't know, I just feel like being around dancers is just like a beautiful thing.
a sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Andre, what was your favorite memory from Puerto Rico?
Dancing in Dom's room with her and Florencia.
Yes, we turned.
Yes. That was a good one.
We couldn't go to the club, so we brought the club.
What? You guys couldn't make it in the club? No, someone left their ID?
Oh, my God.
Okay, what happened?
No, safety first. That's always number one in gap year. And following our intuition. And it was pretty late, and we were, heading out in an Uber, and... we just kind of looked at each other and we were like, here's $20. Thanks.
Bad idea. We're gonna go back home. So we made our own club in Dom's room.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds fun.
That's the best, though.
I feel like I always suspected dancers are always dancing, doing everything.
Everywhere.
You know, let me just get this box of cereal.
Oh, my gosh.
With the glass.
Oh,
she's. We made a whole music video. Out of an improvisation play game, like a game.
What?
And Marcus, who our videographer, shout out to NY Vids as well. We just went from small cup to medium to larger, and it was just this one take, and they were all improvising and. You know, Lucia was counting people in 5, 6, 7, 8.
We're going to need to drop this video along with this
is
episode.
Is that video? Yeah.
It's going to come out soon.
Okay.
We have a lot of footage. I mean, we have aerial footage.
Wow.
They all organized doing a whole improv on a big stone. Right,
with the drone.
Rainforest. Angelitos.
Wow. See, if I would have went, I would have crashed the vibe. I would have been in the background snapping no rhythm here. So what was your favorite memory outside of the dance club in the bedroom?
I just think that I think everything. I enjoy every part of the trip. Every single part, because I didn't have expectations about the trip. So I just think every day I was surprised about something, you know? And I don't know. I just think being with people also that speak Spanish makes me feel a little bit
at home.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I can express myself, you know. This is not me, guys. It's me, but no, me, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Can I ask you, Floyd, if you could just describe this experience a little bit in Spanish for those who you know.
That will be awesome. Okay. Hola a todos.
Hola.
Hola a todos. Creo que mi experiencia en Puerto Rico fue increíble porque no tenía ninguna expectativa del viaje. Y no sé, desde que entré al Airbnb y vi la casa, vi que teníamos la playa, literalmente la vista estaba genial, que teníamos todo cerca, que no sé, en realidad sentí que estar en un lugar con personas bailarinas, ¿no? Uh-huh. Es algo bonito porque no van a lo que todo mundo... O sea, no van con la línea recta. Entonces, siempre podemos hacer algo distinto y nadie te va a juzgar. Nadie te va a decir, ¿qué estás haciendo? ¿O por qué estás haciendo esto? Es como, lo estás haciendo y ya. O sea, ¿sabes? No pasa nada. Lo que pasa en Puerto Rico se queda en Puerto Rico.
All right.
I don't know what happened, but I was deep in that. Listen, every black girl in the world knows what this means.
Right. I felt it.
You were telling somebody off in that last
I understood.
Bit of story right there. All right? All right. You stop it, right?
Yeah.
Rakiti.
Rakiti, rakiti.
All right. We're wrapping up, guys. I'm just going to do a quick pop quiz. Now, a part of the program, you guys had to do an amazing photo shoot with the wonderful, the beautiful Mike Milan. Is it still Mike Milan? What's his new name?
Mike Santal.
Mike
Photography.
Sorry, Mike.
The
incredible Mike Santal.
Mike Santal.
Incredible, incredible.
And so a part of the photo was exploring your identity. So pop quiz, what is your brand in three words?
I'm three what?
Don't start there. Okay, I'm going to go there. How would you describe your brand?
Three words.
Three words. I'll play some thinking music in the background. Dom goes first.
You got this, Dom.
Freedom. Woo. Boldness. Compassion.
Okay. So what we learned about branding this semester was a brand is what you think you are, what other people perceive you are, mm-hmm. and the actions that tie in between them. So do you think Dom is on brand?
Mm, yeah.
I think she forgot to add naked.
Oh. Hey.
Oh, there's the freedom part.
I can only get three.
The freedom part. The freedom part is so on brand. Yeah.
Yes.
It is. Okay. Harvey, how would you describe your brand in three words?
Independent, creative, unapologetic.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely on brand. You forgot hard-headed, too.
Hard-headed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Only that's three. Only three.
She's putting the 4-1. She's adding the 4-1.
I'm like, you forgot that. You forgot
no, she said three for us, and then she adds the bonus one.
Yes. Okay, and Lucia?
Well, I really wanted to say figuring it out.
That's a good one.
You got that.
But, okay, like real words, adventurous, honest, and positive.
Yes. Okay. Yep, that's on brand. Good.
Yes.
And fashion slayer.
Okay.
I've seen some of those looks. All right, Andrea.
Yes. Reliable. I literally just had those two words.
Forgetful. No, I'm playing. 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 I'm playing.
What was the question?
Three words to describe your personal brand.
We can come back to you.
We can come back to you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Florencia.
I think unpredictable. Colorful. And empatica.
Empathetic.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Those on brand. Okay, we're not letting Andrea off the hook here. Okay.
Reliable.
Now Liable is definitely there. She's consistent. I want to say fierce because the dancing and the looks, like there's an inner fierceness that she just is there and it's unexpected.
She brought that at the photo shoot.
I want to add another one. Fierce. I think she's loyal.
Yes, because she talked about her family and friends a lot and how she likes to show up for them. Yes. So now we gave you your flowers. So you know your brand because we told you. Now, what are your words?
Can't remember them.
Reliable, fierce, and loyal.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right.
Sam.
Write that down.
What are they?
Reliable, fierce, and loyal.
That's right. We got it. All right, guys. We are coming to an end, and I want to leave on a positive note. So what I'd like to ask each of you in roundtable fashion is to really leave us with, like, one thing that you're taking away from this journey that's really transformed you, and what's next? And we're gonna start with Dom. She's just, so I can remind her, she's transitioned a lot this year. Okay, she went from being way more involved in the program to being a director, and there's a lot that goes into being the boss and having to pull back a lot so you can look at a lot of operation stuff. So what have you learned?
Taking a step back is a great thing. I think I learned where I need to, you know, be more present and areas where it's okay that I'm not as present. And also just have a lot of confidence and trust that my students are, they got it, right? You know?
What's next for you and Piz Arts and the Dance Gap Year program?
Yeah. We'll be in Puerto Rico in the summertime running some camps. I'm hoping another dream of mine is that I'm able to do a reunion with Gap Year students from the previous years. Mm-hmm. This is our fifth, sixth Gap Year cohort. And so, yeah, I just kind of go with the flow of it. And as people come my way, we see whether or not it's worth putting together a gap year.
Mm. Manifested. Apparently,
yes.
What you speak comes true. So please speak that I am a billionaire.
We're going to be on a reality TV educational one. I'm putting that into the world.
Okay.
Gap Year Reality New York.
That will be awesome.
That will be. I can see that going a lot of different ways, but all of them good. All right. Harvey.
For me, one of the biggest challenges was taking something for me that is a passion, which was kind of the creative direction with this photo shoot and kind of structuring it more professionally and making it more official. And I didn't realize how kind of whimsical passion can be. Mm. And it's something that I've only done personally for myself and people close to me. So doing it on a more broad perspective with something more structured like the gap year was it was a beautiful challenge and I liked it, you know, and it kind of was scary a little bit at first, kind of taking on the position, you know, and I didn't know where I was going to go with it, but like it all just kind of came and it with thanks to everyone who was involved, it just kind of settled beautifully, and it was it's something that I want to continue to do with the gap year or Piz Arts period in any other form of fashion I can with anyone else. It was a really nice thing to do. I liked it a lot.
Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, you know you're up, Lucia.
Can you repeat up the question, please?
Well, the question was, what is something that has transformed you on this journey? What have you learned about yourself or something that you're going to carry forward?
I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and what I need to succeed and what, I guess just like how I live life on my own now. I think I finally am at a point in my life, which is kind of crazy I think I'm finally at a point in my life where I truly know that I want to dance, which I know I have always said my whole life, oh, I'm going to be a dancer. Oh, I want to dance. But there have been moments where I have questioned that or felt like I'm just saying it to like cover up like my own like, I don't really know. Like, I feel like for a while I was really basing like my love for dance truly off just the fact that I was saying that I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now that I have a little bit more freedom with like dance, I know that it is what I want to do. I mean, dance has always been something that I didn't really have any freedom with my entire life. And it's crazy because it's dance. Like, it's supposed to be like your self-expression, like moment of like freedom. But so I think I've really learned that I want to dance. I've learned a lot about what dance means to me and like how my body can move, and I think I just have like this different confidence in when I dance now, especially like improvising, just like simple like dancing without being told what to do. Like, it's my first time that I've really just danced without being told what to do, so I think I've learned a lot about that, and also just like exploring my options in like styles and things. And I think I am like, I know that like I can like have an option of going into like a more free flowing style of dance. Mm.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I think we can all relate to that feeling of not knowing, but saying like, I want to do this, but then feeling it, that this is it. This is what you are meant to do. That's such a beautiful feeling. Thank you for sharing that. So, Andre, I'm going to repeat the question, okay? Ready for me?
Got
got you.
What is one thing that has really stood out to you on this journey, or something that you would really want to take forward with you?
I was going to say that I've learned a lot about where I am in terms of my own self-work. I've worked a lot to get to where I am now, but I thought I was further along than what I actually am. And New York showed me exactly where I am. Mm-hmm. So while it's a little hard to accept where I'm at least I have that knowledge and I know what I need to do moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, that's actually a really cool perspective, because we run from feedback a lot, right? Because the pain of feedback or thinking that it's criticism, mm-hmm. but it really is a gift. And more people would be further along if they were open and receptive to understanding the areas that they need to work on personally, professionally, spiritually. And really, that is something that, like, no one can give you. You have to be able to receive it. And that's your power. It's in your court to be able to open up your heart for it. And I'm so glad that this experience gave you that illumination. But honey, just because you don't think you're it in New York is okay. So New York is like, if you feel like you're not doing as well as you can in New York and you go to another state, you're doing amazing. So yeah, it's just a really tough market. Yeah, like, you know, an 80 in New York is 1,000 in the other city. So I just want to remind you that you are fierce. Okay. Yes. But I appreciate that you're willing to keep doing that work and you're unshakable and resilient.
I just had to say to that, like, what you're saying is, stems a lot into what Pizzarts is about, like pizzazz. Ooh. Right? Going into the industry and like being such a late bloomer, it's like you don't have time to fantasize, boo. Like, you want to go to this audition, but like, you're more this person. And like, just being honest with yourself about where you are will actually help to propel you much further along. Mm-hmm. And it just helps you from wasting time, you know, like battling things you can't control. But Pizzarts comes from pizzazz and the love of arts.
Oh, I didn't know that background story for the name. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, we're going to wrap it. We're going to land on Florencia. So what have you learned and discovered throughout this journey?
I think I have been learning so much how to move, like being an artist in New York City. Because I already have a background, but it's different here. And also, I think, like, my confidence now, it's, I can say better. Mm-hmm. Not, like, 100% that I wish, but I'm better. Because I find people that let me know it's okay if I messed up, you know? Mm-hmm. If I can say or express myself how I want it, like, they got my back. You know, like, mm-hmm. they are going to say, like, it's okay, we can help you. And I think that's something that I was really afraid, people, humans, because humans, we can be so mean. Mm-hmm. And for me, I am so on, I want to cry, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, feel your feels, feel your feels.
Yeah.
Just breathe and talk, we got you.
But it's like, I just think, like, I have a core on myself every day because I'm afraid that people can hurt me, mm-hmm. Knowing my weaknesses or, you know, my, yeah. So just find people that I realize that I don't need to think that all people is like that, and that our dance and in our gremio, I don't know how to say that in English, pero, you know, in the show business, girl, you're fighting every day for get attention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants attention, you know?
Yeah.
So, just know, as an artist, you're never going to feel that you're 100%. But your focus should be more into giving 100% into that moment or whatever you're doing. Because you're never, like, artists, we're like that. You know, and it's hard to explain, but we all understand, as artists or creative people, we never will feel at 100% because we're always going to feel like it's better. But as long as we focus on giving 100% of that moment, mistakes or not, in that moment, That's what's important.
I have a question for, like, through this experience in the gap year, did you feel like you had a support or like that you were in that safe space?
Totally, totally. Mm. And you inspire me to go more. Like, I wanna back to modeling. That's one another of my passions. So I really went back, and I was afraid, but I am not anymore, because I just found.
Girl, you better run to an audition yesterday.
You saw those images from Rex photo shoot. Girl. Damn. You better go.
I will. I promise. but yeah, I have been learning a lot. Thank you, Dominique, for giving me the opportunity.
Yes. Thank you, Dominique. Thank you, Dominique.
Thank you, Dominique.
Thank you, Dominique.
Thank you, Dominique.
I had to say it three times. Thank you for creating a safe space, for creating a community, for creating a place to grow, for creating a place to discover yourself, for creating a place for people to explore their passions, and for mentors to give back and through that process learn about themselves as well. I appreciate every one of you for being a part of this journey with me, and now you're a part of my story, and I'm hopefully a part of yours. So thank you. We have to wrap up. I'm your host, Jenny Lewis Ford. If I could leave you with one thing, it's to don't be afraid to take a leap, to explore the gap between the expectations society has on you and the dreams that you have for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you will be surprised as to what you can discover if you just make a little bit of time. And thank you all for making that time for me today, and Dom, making a space for everybody.
Thank you. And the same.
All right. Definitely tune in. We will drop all of the social media handles on the page, and I hope you follow all of these brilliant people and stay tuned and posted to their stories, because this is just the beginning. Thank you all again, and we're out.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.